Behold a leper. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Such a cold winter, some warm destination, sounds good right about now, doesn't it? How about going with me this morning to Hawaii? Not the big island, the tropical paradise and tourist trap. We'll just change planes there, and we'll move on out to one of the lesser islands, Molokai. Is that name familiar? That's where the lepers live. Behold, a leper. His name is Father Damien Levasseur. He was born in Belgium in 1840, sturdy Flemish farmers. His big frame, his physical prowess, made his father think he'd be his successor. They were a devout family. They practiced their faith and passed it on. And they had already given two daughters and one son to the religious life. Damien, though, was marked for the fields, so he didn't receive much in the way of education. He was sent to a vocational school, and there, maybe with some idea of what was coming for him, he managed to study French, because he spoke Flemish. The French, of course, made fun of his accent, but he didn't let that bother him any. He said, I chased them home with a ruler one day. He attended a parish mission, this boy, who was, he was really the joy of his parents. This big fellow was pure of heart. He was always cheerful, and he was a good worker. But at this parish mission, he got thinking about what he should do in life, how he ought to follow that one path which for him would most surely lead to salvation. And during the mission, he decided to become a missionary. He went to the same order his brother had joined, the Sacred Hearts Fathers, the Fathers of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and of Mary. But he didn't have any education, so they put him to be a lay brother. One day at recreation, his older brother, Pamphile, just for something to do, some of you kids might play cards or something, well, instead, he started teaching him, Damien, who was a quick learner, some Latin phrases, some words, and how to decline some particular word. Well, he remembered it, and within 6 months, he was a great autodidact, this young man, it seems. He had learned enough Latin to be able to read the classics unassisted. And so he was transferred to the seminary at Louvain, studied philosophy and theology. And every day, in front of a little picture of St. Francis Xavier, he prayed to be a missionary himself one day. Now, Francis Xavier only got to become the great missionary saint because the one appointed had gotten sick. And the same thing happened to Damien. His brother Pamphile was assigned to Hawaii, but he got typhus. And very modestly, the future martyr of Molokai steps forward and says, Father, you know, rather than waste the price of the ticket, you could send me. I'd be happy to go. He's sent. And when he gets to Hawaii, soon he receives all of his major orders and is a priest. His first assignment, it's a bit like some of our young priests over the years, was to take care of a scattered flock over 100 miles. He said, my home is my horse and my saddle. He did so well that he was put over 1,000 miles in an even larger flock. And at this point, the bishop gathered all the clergy together and he was telling them about this new leper colony that the government had started. They were terribly afraid, the government was, of infection. And so all the lepers were unceremoniously dumped in one corner, very inhospitable, of Molokai. Well, he said, I have an idea. He thought it would be too much to send a priest there, but why don't we have a team of four who would take turns, a few months each, and then we'll go on a rotating basis. Again, Damien, volunteers. Send me, Your Excellency, I'd be happy to go. And when he gets there, within a week or two, he falls in love with the place. And he realizes, he tells the bishop, Monseigneur, he said, these people, they need a father. They're abandoned by everyone. If you don't mind, I'd be happy to stay. And so he does, carrying on that same work that he had begun over those vast fields of hundreds or thousands of miles. He prayed to his brother Pamphile, and he said, please pray for me, that I may be a kind of a curia of ours priest. Our Lord came to kindle the fire of his love in this world. He wants it to burn vehemently. If I had that kind of spirit, he said, without weariness, I'd go to visit the sick and the old, to baptize them with water and the Holy Ghost before they pass to another life. And how zealously would I go after the children and the ignorant to preserve them from the influence of heretical preachers. That says it all. This hero of the lepers of Molokai, he was a Catholic priest. What did he face when he got there and he offered to stay there as their father? He found it filthy. The air was the hardest thing for him to take. He said sometimes at the altar, saying Mass, the stench was such rotting flesh that was all he could do not to run outside and get a gulp of fresh air. And sometimes giving extreme unction, because leprosy rots the flesh, he couldn't find a place in the hands, especially the feet, where he could even make the sign of the cross with the holy oil. And as he looked, he found maggots instead, eating the dead flesh. But I think the hardest thing for him was the total disorder and the degradation in which these poor lepers lived. Here he was, a man who had come from an organized Flemish farming family. And then after that, he was a seminarian and then a priest in a religious order. But then to see that drunkenness and impurity were the only order of the day, and as one writer says, how those people waited in sullen despair for death, sunk in apathy and vice. Where to start? Well, he was a practical man. He rolled up his sleeves and he built a church, and he dedicated the church to great Saint Philomena, the miracle worker. He had no contractor handy, so Big Damien, that's what they used to call him in the seminary, he just built it himself, using his own hands. And then he got after the government to send in pipes, and he set up a water system so the people would have water with which to wash and to clean out their homes. He treated his flock not as loathsome lepers, the living dead or something like that. No, but as normal human beings. They needed music, too. He started a band. He started a girls' choir. The Indians always sing sort of a shrill way, but for him, it was beautiful music. And then they had to have some fun, too. He organized foot races sometimes, even though some of the runners had lost a foot already. He took care of the sick. One visitor was so impressed, he wrote, that priest dresses the most loathsome wounds as if he were arranging flowers, which reminds me of the story of that nun seen by a visitor in a leprosarium in Africa in the last century. Sister, the man says to her, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And she looks at him and she says, neither would I. Dignity for God's children, in life or in death. He built 800 houses himself, and he built over 1,800 coffins himself. He set up a cemetery, and when the leper died, they received a proper funeral with a requiem, high mass, even though we had to get two organists to accompany it, because between the two, they had 10 working fingers. They might have looked, these poor people, like zombies, but he never would treat them that way. I make myself a leper with the lepers, St. Paul would say that, to gain all for Jesus Christ. He wrote this to his brother Pamphile. And that's why I say on Sundays, we lepers, not my dear brethren, but we lepers. By the end of his almost 12 years on Molokai, he was celebrated, been discovered by the world, he was a celebrity. And they looked upon him as a hero because of his humanitarian work, don't you know, for philanthropy, and he had books written about him, and when he died, they set up statues. There's a statue of his in the Capitol in Washington. But no. Someone asked him, "What's your secret, Father? What's the source of your strength?" And Father answered, "The continual presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, in his daily reception to my heart at the communion of my Mass, that gives me strength to endure." Sometimes, of course, the loneliness got to him. It would for anybody. And sometimes the visitors thought they found him rather depressed, which would be understandable. Here he was, misunderstood by many and seemingly abandoned by all. Because of the fear of infection, he was kept so terribly isolated. One time his bishop came to visit him, and they wouldn't let him on the island for fear of infection. So there he was stuck on the boat, and what was he going to do? Father Damien gets into a rowboat and rows out to the ship, and with a megaphone he had improvised, he starts in a loud voice to shout out his sins. At first, the sailors listened with some interest, but then shamed. They went to the other side of the boat. And once, he only made a few visits back to Honolulu, but once on the mainland, he was forbidden to offer Mass by his fellow priests for fear that his leper lips would contaminate the chalice. But it was his Catholic faith that made him persevere. "I find my consolation," he said, "in the only companion who does not leave me, our Divine Master in the Holy Eucharist. It is at the foot of the altar that I find relief from pain." That pain which came too when the disease finally claimed him. One night after a long sick call, he was washing his feet of the mud and accidentally poured boiling water on his foot. There was no pain, and he realized now he truly was one of them. But what troubled him most of all was not the offering of the sacrifice of his life. As still a young man, he made that with equanimity. His biggest cross was his lack of physical strength to be able to do for others and to be able to carry on this giant of a man. But then he packed into his last months everything he possibly could. And only 6 months before his death, he was seen on the roof of his church repairing the shingles. But by Holy Week of that year, 1889, he had died. Father Damien Levasseur, I always wanted to tell you his tale. One of the men whom he inspired to join him was Joseph Dutton. He was a farmer from Vermont who had been a soldier in the Civil War, and he tried his vocation at the Trappists in Gethsemane in Kentucky. His brother was a priest here in Cincinnati, and Joseph gave his brother a purificator that Father Damien had used. And it, in turn, has been passed on to us, and I have it. You can visit it after Mass if you want to. It's right next to the creche. A little link with a great man who made himself a leper for the love of our Lord and of souls. In Father Damien, we have the extraordinary, but presented as it always is, in a day-by-day kind of ordinary way. It is only our faith that inspires heroes. Whether it be coming to church, a good distance for some of you in bad weather, or staying away from the sacraments because it's not good and that's not right to do it. that way. Or whether it be parents taking care of their children, adult children taking care of their parents, teaching and preaching, explaining the faith, even to radio. All of these are the deeds that are done inspired by the faith, as were the great heroes of Catholic history, not in their hundreds, but in their thousands upon thousands. Such has always been known only consistently and unto sacrifice in the Catholic Church. What a convincing argument this should be for us of the unchanging truth of our unchanging faith, this perfect love of God, which does not fail neighbor, which inspired such selfless sacrifices. Even our enemies have to admire us, and we today must set ourselves to imitate these men who were worthy of the name of Catholic. Behold, a leper. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.